Praise Thee that we have the privilege in coming into Thy presence directly because of the way made open to us by Thy Son, our Savior. We thank Thee for the time that we can spend together this evening in the study of these principles by way of introduction to what Thy Word clearly teaches regarding relationships. May God the Holy Spirit therefore challenge us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've seen thus far that there are three areas of any meaningful relationship, whether it be friendship, whether it be courtship or marriage, the first of which is attraction, and we finished that last night, so if you weren't here, make sure you get the tape, because that I really went into all of the summary factors, and especially certain areas in attraction that can absolutely destroy a relationship. One of them, obviously, is premarital sexual relationships, that is, before marriage. Not only is it sin, but it can eventually destroy the soul of the individual. In addition to that, of course, we found that in the attraction stage, people are attracted to each other for one reason or another, and it is generally outward. The next is compatibility, which we'll begin this evening. And the third is rapport, based on virtue love. Now, virtue love is one of those categories of love which is far beyond the general categories of love. For example, you have a person says, I love my car. Well, that's nice, but I hope you don't love your wife the way you love your car. No, I love my car more than my wife. See, that's with the young males, that's the way it is because they're, well, they're cuckoo. They're just that way. Then I love my dog. Well, I hope you don't love your dog the way, same as you love your wife. Then you say, I have love for my children. That's a different love. And we saw last night, I just introduced it. We're not going to go into it in depth. But there are actually four Greek words that describe love. Agape, which of course is a mental attitude love. It is generally used for a simple love, but then it can also be accelerated in the context of a passage to include the concept of virtue love. Then you have philios, and philios is another word for love, but it has to do with relationships with others. Per a marriage, your spouse should be your best filio. Your spouse, you should agape them. And then you have the other word that's used, the third is eros, and that is specifically under the principles of marriage. That's the erotic factor that's involved. We get our English word erotic from it, eros. And then finally, the last of the category is storgi. And storgi love is a love for children and has to do with a family unit. And it's a completely different type of love that you would have for, say, your spouse. Now, some people get it all mixed up, and they have not only an agape love for their children, which you can have, obviously, in some of the distorted aspects, you even have, and it's quite prevalent today, where males get involved erotically with their daughters in the principle of incest. That was quite common in the ancient world as well, and then it seemed to wane for a while, and now all of a sudden it's rampant again. Not only is it disgraceful and disgusting, it is obviously one of the most disgusting principles of sin found in God's Word. I can't even think of a choice expletive to add to it. That's a no-count, low-life, rattlesnake, skunk-type individual male. How's that? Bastard. All right. So the fact of the matter is you have, you've got those categories of love, and we'll develop those later on down the line. This evening, of course, we go into compatibility. And compatibility, as we found out last night, and again, may I remind you that the reason why we're not going into any biblical passages as yet, this is all introduction. Eventually, and you can ask singles class. We did go into many, many Bible texts, but I have to give you the groundwork first and establish principles first before we can actually get into the text. We've got such passages as 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 5, Hebrews 13, definitely 1 Corinthians 7. We'll see that relationship as well. But that, again, is after we have built a foundation, and then we can start putting all the necessary biblical building blocks to build a proper study of this subject. All right, under point one, compatibility is the capacity of a man and a woman, or a man and a man for that matter, and a woman and a woman, in a friendship relationship, to combine and remain either as friends or in marriage without undesirable after effects. Two, compatibility, we covered this last evening. Compatibility is a mutual tolerance. And that is something that I want you to underscore in your notes, because really, to have a successful marriage, there must be a tolerance of one another, especially in the area of compatibility. Nowhere have I found in God's Word where you are qualified to marry another because you agree on everything. You're not going to agree on everything. For example, when we go out to dinner, my wife normally orders chicken fried steak, and I think she's still trying to find a good one. And occasionally she does. And I keep telling her, well, you're a glutton for punishment, because I'll say to her, how was it? And she goes, meh. See, she's used to chicken fried steak in Iowa, and that's not the same. And besides, that was 50 years ago, and, well, your taste buds change drastically over the years. But in any event, and I order either a filet mignon or some cut of steak that's kind of running around in the plate, and my wife wants it well done. Well, now, we don't fight over that. We don't have any controversy over that. I don't say, why don't you order a filet mignon? Well, I don't want a filet mignon. I want a chicken fried steak. Or she'll just order a big dinner salad. Now, to me, I'd grow whiskers and start hopping if I ate those dinner salads. To me, that's rabbit food. Now, I'm not a veggie person. She loves string beans. I could go the rest of my life and never eat another one. Now, I like spinach. Well, she does too. She likes cooked carrots. That is an abomination. If I see one on my plate, I will leave the table. You see me eat soup with cooked carrots in it, and I just eat right around them. And occasionally I'll mess up, and one will slide down my throat, and that's the end of that. I'm through. Try to wash it down with crackers. So you see, you don't have to be compatible in every area, but you must be compatible in essential areas. Now, we're going to cover those areas later. You've got to learn to differentiate between essentials and non-essentials in life. We had a man here years ago. It was a big joke. He said, and I quote, I don't believe that anything is a non-essential. To me, he said, everything is an essential. And man didn't know what he was talking about. There are certain things that I put second, third, fourth, fifth, ninth, tenth, 15th priority as far as my list is concerned. Years and years ago, when I used to get these nasty letters from our bill collectors, I would write back and I'd say, look, I put all the names of my bill collectors in a hat. And then I draw out enough to know how much I can pay. In other words, if I have a certain amount of money, as I pull them out, and then I conclude by saying, be grateful your name even went into the hat. That's the end of that. That's an old joke, by the way. I never really did that. But I wanted to many times. But see, even bills, they become income tax, for example, is not one of the highest priorities in my life. As a matter of fact, to me, it's a non-essential. But there are certain things that are absolutely essential. The care of the household, the well-being of children, making sure that they're well clothed and fed a balanced diet. I know parents, for example, that throw food at their children like they would a biscuit to a dog. And I've known children that for breakfast they had crackers, and for lunch they had crackers, and for their evening meal they had crackers with something on it. You see, it was enhanced. It's simple. Or they sit around and eat all this junk food, you know, wingdings and Twinkies and donuts and all those fattening, and they wonder why the kid looks like a blimp by the time it's 15, or it's suffering from every conceivable ailment possible. Bad diet. It's got to be a balanced diet. You'll find out, by the way, what they like and they don't like. And don't make them eat what they don't like. Just work around that. Don't force feed your children. You know, hold their head back and just throw it in. You have taste buds. Guess what? So do they. I know that's deep. But they do too. And they have certain things they like and certain things they don't like. When it comes to goodies, my wife and I differ greatly. She likes chocolate gooey things. And I like licorice. Gooey things. See, she and Shirley would get along well together. They like gooey things. Snickers and nutty gooey things, you know. Stuff that gets stuck in your teeth, that stuff, you know. Can't stand it. I want to chew on either a piece of jerky or a licorice stick. And the red stuff, by the way, is not licorice. I don't know why they call it red licorice. It's strawberry gunk is what it is. Or it's just red strings with sugar in it. Some of you prefer to use an alternate to sugar. You might be a saccharin user, or what are some of those other things that people use? You know, it's a matter of taste. I don't like it. To me, it has an aftertaste, and I taste it all day. If I drink milk, it must be homogenized. My mother used to try to sneak in pasteurized milk, but not homogenized. And I could taste it right away. And she'd, you know, look at me, and I'd start in, all of a sudden I'd go, and she'd say, "You caught it, didn't you?" And I said, "Right." I could taste the difference. Of course, as I got older, I just gave up milk completely. But that's okay. Compatibility, then, is mutual tolerance. You learn, and when do you learn this? When you're courting, not after marriage. And say, "You like that?" Well, yeah, you find that out. Now, if you think that's not, you're not able to tolerate that, whatever it is they like, you know, green eggs with, I know, here's one that people do. They put ketchup on their eggs, okay? My opinion is the more ketchup you use on any meal means you don't really like the taste. And anyone that puts ketchup on a fine steak should be shot. Eat something else. You see these people, you know, they pile it on. Now, you may be one that eats French fries with ketchup. We know people that eat French fries with vinegar. And they used to eat it with vinegar, and my wife would eat it with ketchup, and I like it plain. Do we fight over it? Do we make fun of the person? You mean vinegar? Who ever heard of that? No, you tolerate that. You want to keep a friend? You know, some of you are so mouthy, you have to get your opinion across or tell a story about what happened to you when you were younger. Who really cares? It's irrelevant. unless somebody asked you. Some of you have a lot of stories to tell. I'm sure that some of them are true. All right, compatibility then is mutual tolerance motivated by three categories of virtue love. Now remember, virtue love is the final development stage. I wanted to say, The development stage of advance in the Christian life. Personal love for God the Father. That's the first category. Impersonal love for all mankind. Now, some people get very upset when they hear the word impersonal because their vocabulary is so limited, they don't realize that the word impersonal means more than just being aloof. Impersonal means it's not personal. There's a vast difference between personal love and impersonal love. Impersonal love is where you love that person based on your virtue, your character, not the worth of the person being loved. See, love usually is reciprocal. In personal love, you have a reciprocation. Here is the lover. Here is the lovee. Okay? The one being loved. Now, in personal love, the statement, I love you, is because you see something in that person that has value to which you can direct your love. There's a quality. And then most times, the quality is being loved in return. Okay? Now, is this the way God loved us while we were sinners? No. Why? Because man has no quality for him to love us. And when it says, for God so loved the world, he cannot compromise his essence. He cannot lower his standards of justice, righteousness, and truth. And what are we? We're shipwrecked sinners. We're totally depraved at physical birth. Well, what value then can God see in us to love? And by the way, whether you realize it or not, when you see God loving man because of some value that is found in man, then man can lose that value, thus lose the love of God, thus lose his personal salvation. And that's why people do not believe in eternal security, because they do not understand the difference between personal and impersonal love. Now let's put it even more bluntly. Aren't there some people on planet Earth that you just can't stand to be around? Never mind love them. You don't even want to be around them. Well, impersonal love gives you the ability to love that person irrespective of their worth. Why? Because here we have the same scenario with the lover and the loved. Okay? The quality is found in the lover, is directed toward the loved, not because of something they see in them, but because of the quality and virtue that is found in the one doing the loving. You get it? I've only said this about, let's see, this probably is the 9,483rd, maybe fourth time that I've said it in the last 10 years. And I've been here 28, so multiply that by the rest. The lover, now it's impersonal. What's another good term for impersonal in this sense? Unqualified. Unconditional. When you say to a person, I have an unconditional love for that individual, what does that mean? They don't have to meet any qualification or condition for me to love them. And that's how God loved us. Now, after salvation, he sees his son in us. Now he can have a personal relationship with us. And then it becomes personal love. However, he doesn't personally love us because he sees any value other than his son. Here, When personal love begins, it begins in the adult stage of the Christian life where the person can actually say, I love God. And it is absolutely fabulous. They have literally fallen in love with God. Most believers say they love God, but they're using that cockeyed definition like they love their dog. It's very loose. And they even sing about it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, you know, and so on. Why? Because of what he did for me. No, you see, it has to be directed because of the greatness of his person. Remember, you are what you are, not because of who you are, but who and what God is. When you get in the way, you'll see too much of self and not enough of him. All right, so it's personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind. Now what happens here is that you begin to relax around people you don't like. And you can be in the same room with them. You don't really think, by the way, that I like everybody at Westside Bible, do you? Now, where does it say, pastors, you should like everyone, every member of your congregation? There's some people I don't like at all. But I'm relaxed around them. And probably they don't like me either. I don't try to get rid of them. I'm not threatened by it. I'm relaxed around them. I even talk to them. And I don't snarl when I'm talking to them. Or say caustic things. I generally say caustic things to people that I like. Because I know they can relax. Or I know I can get a rise out of them, whereas the other person is liable to do me bodily harm. And I can't afford that. I don't have the advantages that some of our women had here years ago. I've never learned karate to protect my body. That was the saying for the ladies when we had karate classes here. You wanted to see them out there. Really great. Looked like a training ground for guerrilla warfare. So we stopped. We're getting people off the streets who say, I want to join that group. And they were learning how to get out of certain holes and everything and what to do in case of an attack. And it's good to know. You ladies carry in your purse enough weapons. Purse itself is a weapon. Some of you carry suitcases. You call them purses. What a weapon. Some guy comes up to you, you know, just make sure you fill it with heavy things. Just swing and whack him with it. Break the side of his face. You're going to do what? Bam! See? And years ago, they had those little rat tail combs. Remember those with the point on the end? Man, that's a stiletto right there. Then when you go out at night on the town and you have high heels on, you know what that does to the top of a foot of a man? There are more bones in the foot than there are combined in the entire body. Just crush about 10 of them. See if that guy's going to have any intentions to do anything to you. And then, of course, there's always this. Oh, this is better, I guess. Okay. There isn't a man alive that can suffer that pain. All right, so impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. These are the three areas of virtue love in the developmental stages of the Christian life. Maybe it's just that I'm trying to say it too fast. Hey, it took me 30 years to learn how to say apothecary, so relax. I used to say apaka-paka. Point three, compatibility is the total adjustment to the other person so that he or she is the most important person in the world to you. See, that shows you right away when you are courting that there are no other people. See, it isn't a matter of wandering eyes. Your eyes don't wander. Why? Because that person you're dating is the most important person in the world to you. And if they're not, don't marry them. Don't even ask. Wait until they are. Now, those of you that are happily married know what I'm talking about, because that person in your life is the most important person in your life. And by the way, your children do not supersede your husband or your wife. That's a distortion. Remember, they have to go someday. Right? Right now, they're just an intrusion for educational purposes. God gave them to you to do some training. Eventually, you say, you've graduated. Out. Birds do it. And everyone in the animal kingdom knows when it's time that the child should leave. But you know, some mothers are just so domineering and desirous to have control of that child. Let go. And I've heard some say, the most important people in my life are my children. Well, what about your husband? Oh, he left years ago. No wonder. A man will not take second place, neither will a woman, even to her own children. It's a distortion. Now, if you want children, get artificially inseminated and don't get married. Then you can build your life around your children. That's a distortion also, but that's okay. Single parents have a rough job in raising their children. Very difficult. God knows what he was doing when he said male and female. They need the mother image, they need the father image. And the mother cannot assume the father image, neither can the father, the mother image. Just literally impossible. Of course, in the day in which we live, we've got men staying at home as the housekeeper and the wife is out working. That's weird. I guess if you agree and that's what makes you happy, you know. Got an article that my wife read to me today. She has to read to me because, see, I can't read. And as she was reading it, she said, this would really be good for this class, and so one of these days I'll read it to you. Written by a man. You forgot it or you threw it away? You threw it away. See, one of these days she's going to throw me away. She comes in sometimes and off goes the T-shirt. I'm doing a wash. Okay. One of these days it's just going to be garbage time and she'll drag me out the door. I've had it. That's it. I mean, you know, cleanliness can go too far. Is he or she the most important person in your life? If not, something's wrong with your relationship. Point four. While attraction is the blind stage of romance, compatibility is the enlightened stage. Now remember, we went over this in detail as far as the blind stage. Why? Because you're really not cognizant of the flaws and faults of that individual because you're too wound up in the emotional part of the attraction stage. When you think of attraction, think of emotion. And when you think of emotion, you think of little thought. And as I said to you repeatedly, I was amazed what people didn't know about each other prior to getting married. You know, such incidentals as, are both of you going to work? Yes, no. How many children are you going to have? 4, 6. Be predetermined. Or if you say, if you want to really get around it easily, just be pious about it and say, whatever the Lord gives us. That's a pious thing to say. We had 4. My wife and I never used birth control. I didn't believe in it. We had 4 children. Now, apparently I know people in the congregation that don't use birth control, and they have many, many children. But that's okay. I don't see them being unhappy about it. They are cheaper by the dozen, you know. Well, I'm glad you conferred, because I never thought so either. That's just 12 more mouths to feed. And when they get about that age, why, and your son, they probably eat like, how many refrigerators do you have, 5? Or 1 for each child? Nothing wrong with that. If you want only one, cheat yourself. An only child is really a child that hasn't had the experience of brothers and sisters. I mean, they're just, and they, for the most part, they become very egocentric and self-centered, selfish. My wife and I were both only children. It took us 10 years to find out that one another even existed. Oh, you know, who are you? You know, I'm your husband. And still to this day, it's her bedroom. After 44 years of marriage, I still have not been included. I'll say our bedroom, and she'll say it's up in my bedroom. Oh, it's your bedroom, I say. Not my bedroom. I don't belong there. It's funny, we have 4 children. But never in the bedroom. Okay. Because it wasn't mine. That's like that channel Lifetime. You know, I'm not really supposed to watch that channel. It's for women. It says television for women. And so I say to my wife, is it all right if I sneak a look? You know, this women lib thing just gone out of control. It is so stupid. But then I'm a male saying that. But ask my wife, she'll say the same thing. We agree on that, you see. What's another area of compatibility? Politics? Church preference? Can you imagine a hooper-duper Pentecostal marrying a Lutheran? One wants to rant and rave and scream and jump around and clap her hands and speak in tongues, and the other one just wants to sit and stare and contemplate their navel. Not all Lutherans. How about Episcopal? How about a girl from Iowa marrying a city slicker from New York? Can it work? Sure it can. But there's got to be compromise. How about a Greek marrying a German? Ugh. It works. Of course, she doesn't goose step around the house either. And I've Greekized her. We'll never go to Germany, but we sure spend time in Greece. And if we do go to Germany, it'll be by Mercedes. So you see, we'll never go to Germany. And then we want to take that. See, this is our dream. Go to Germany, buy a Mercedes, and then use that to tour Europe. Well, yours started in Italy. Mine starts in, I don't want any Italian cars unless it's a Lamborghini. And we'd look kind of silly in a Lamborghini, wouldn't we? Who are those old guys? That's those nuts from Arizona that just bought a Lamborghini. They better not go back either, because the law is waiting for them. That's the only way we could pay for it. It was like John when he was growing up. I'd say to him, John, I cannot buy that because I don't have the money. And he'd say, well, Dad, just write a check. His opinion was, if you needed money, just write a check. He thought the bank just gave you money arbitrarily. I said, but you have to have the money in the bank. before you can write the check. He says, well, that's stupid. Why would you want to put the money in the bank and then have to write a check to get it back? Why not just carry it around with you? Now, that was a good thought. Unless you trust banks. Occupational compatibility. I'm just giving you a few highlights here. For example, suppose your husband says to you, I want to join the police department. Do you realize the highest divorce rate in the country is police officers? The wives can't take it. They are constantly threatened by their husbands potentially either getting injured or killed on the job. You say, well, how do you get around that? You learn how to have a relaxed mental attitude, because he can get killed anywhere. If it's his time to go, he can trip on your slipper and break his neck. He could slip on the soap in the shower, and you just couldn't get to him fast enough. And there he is, dead on the floor. You're saying, and I was worried about him being a policeman. When it's your time to go, you're going to go, and not before. Unless you're foolish enough to commit suicide. And Christians can do that, by the way. Don't you ever come up with that slop that a person who commits suicide was never saved to begin with. That's sloppy. They have a will like anyone else, and they've just simply overridden God's will for their life with regard to the timing of their death. For a small church, we've had at least four in almost 30 years. Christians, all of them. Now, we did have one occasion where a woman attempted suicide with a handgun, and it didn't go off. Then she pointed up to the ceiling and shot a hole in the ceiling. She put the thing down and says, God has intervened. She realized that it wasn't her time. And God said, I'm not through with you. Now, does that mean he's through with the others? No, not necessarily. I might add, incidentally, that in every case, they were all in reversionism at the time. They weren't attending Bible class on a regular basis. See what that does for you? Keeps you out of trouble. Hey, married ladies, you can't commit adultery at Westside Bible while you're in Bible class. Never happened. Can't murder anybody. My, you're so restricted, you can't even talk. Boy, that's... I know some of you are sitting there just restraining yourself. Guys, you can't get into trouble either. Can't steal anything. Can't do anything that is not proper, other than not paying attention, which is tantamount to the sin of death. While the attraction stage is the blind side of romance, compatibility is the enlightening stage of any meaningful relationship. The more you know about that person, the more enlightened you become as to whether or not you want that relationship to continue. And if it's just a series of negatives, hey, you know, wake up and smell and say, well, smell the coffee and say, that person I'm not compatible with at all. Everything they like, I don't like. And what turns them on doesn't turn me on, and I'm not talking in a sexual manner. I mean about just life in general. Can you imagine somebody who likes, I want to be kind here, foot stomping music as opposed to, well, there's a kicking in there that goes somewhere with it as well. as opposed to opera? Now, my wife and I love opera. Not Oprah. Opera. Okay? Opera. And we even have certain selections that we like, and we don't like certain operas. My personal opinion, I love Wagnerian music. But then we like Verdi stuff. Everything Puccini has done that we've heard. Sometimes we sing the scores to each other. Sounds terrible, but it's great. My wife, Turandot, has much to be desired, but nevertheless, for those of you that know what I'm talking about, you say, Turandot, is that a part of her body? No. It's an opera by Puccini. Now you say, well, what about the foot kicking, stomping music? I can tolerate it, but I have to tolerate it. Okay? I can't listen to it on a steady diet. It gets on my nerves. What about Dixieland? Love it. Jazz. What about progressive jazz or modern jazz? Detest it. Okay? Now suppose my wife loved that stuff and she listened to it all day. Drive me nuts. So we compromise. We listen to Christian music all day. Now, believe it or not, I must be honest with you, I tolerate that. Because I can't take too much of that either. Why? Because a lot of it sounds like... kind of has a Western country thing to it. Fine. Now, I know there's some of you here that just absolutely adore country music. Fine. I hope your husband or wife does, too. Yes, she does. Good. You must be right man, right woman in music. Music is important. How about entertainment? Is it important? Of course it is. How are you going to entertain her? You know, guys, entertainment is not staying at home every night and chasing your wife around the house. That's not entertainment. I told a guy once, I said, they were having marital problems, and so he came to me and he said, you know, every time I have a day off, my wife just gets thoroughly annoyed, and I said to him, why? It's because I chase her around the house. And so I said, I don't know why she'd be annoyed. I says, because when she's 40, she'll be chasing you around the house. And he says, is there any way we can speed up that process? No, you got to be patient. It's a matter of hormones. And you'll be running in the opposite direction. That's the way it is. And I think God has played a big joke on us. I think he's just laughing in heaven. There he is. He reaches his sexual high at about 18 or 19, and she does at 40. No, I don't think so. He knows what he's doing. You know what the thing is, don't you? See, the first 20 years of the marriage is sustained by the male, and the last 60 years of the marriage is the woman chasing the man. And as they get older, they just get slower. First, it's running after each other, then it's walking after each other, and it might be in a walker. Come here, dear. And there she goes, you know. I visualize that. I think it's funny. So do you. Those of you that have a sense of humor, the rest of you, I don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you haven't tried running after your husband with a walker. In this stage, you've learned the strengths and the weaknesses of the object of your love. You've already resolved most, not all, of the problems of the relationship. Why? Because you found out what the problems were. You asked each other things. You talked about things. I'm amazed what people don't talk about. What occupies them? I'll tell you what occupies them. They're not thinking with their mind. They're thinking with another part of their anatomy. And that has no thought in it at all. Another thing you understand is what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are, especially in the area of sin. Now, if you think that the man or the woman that you are dating and or married to doesn't sin, you got a problem. There's no perfect man, there's no perfect woman. Now, sometimes the sins are compatible. There's part of the compatibility factor. Let me explain that by saying this. You can have a phenomenal relationship in marriage and not even be saved. Why? Because you see, marriage is a divine institution for the human race, not just believers. I'll take it another step. I've seen unsaved marriages that were more successful than most saved marriages. Why? Because they learned the basic principles of respect for each other and compromise and tolerance, patience. Hey, she's not a short order cook. She may not be able to cook at all. She'll learn. She'll learn. Now, some of you are fine cooks. You learned it somewhere. You either self-taught, you spent a lot of time in a cookbook, you even admitted when you looked at that thing that you made and he said to you, "What is that?" And you say, "I don't know either." And you went out for dinner. I've had a few of those years ago. What do you call this? Well, it was supposed to be. I said, "Have you tasted it yet?" "No, I waited until you came home." I take a bite and I say, "I can't take any more." And she takes a bite and says, "Let's go out to dinner." That's honesty. You don't sit there, "Oh, he doesn't appreciate me. I spent all day slaving over the stove." "Well, it still tastes like crap. I'm sorry." And she ought to be able to admit it herself. If food is bad, it's bad. Don't expect him to rejoice over something that has a foul smell. "What is that smell?" The minute he walks in there, "What is that smell?" And you say, "I'm cooking you a fine meal." "Oh, really? You mean I have to eat that, whatever it is I smell?" Then you put it on the table and it's worse, because now you can see what it looks like. Yeah. Crispy. Critter. Was that a roast? It's supposed to be. You ever see a roast that's been left in too long? Yeah. Charcoal. You can save that, break it up, and cook outside. You're going to see the failures of your partner. You're going to see their weaknesses. And you're going to resolve in your mind, "Yes, that's fine. I can live with that." Don't go into it with the idea you are going to change them. You never will. It'll only get worse. Whatever you see now, multiply by 4. She or he are at their best behavior now. Tippy-toeing. Later, it's full contact. If they have poor manners in public, they're going to be worse at home. I mean, you may just decide to get rid of all the silverware. Or just keep the knives, because he eats everything with a knife. He was an outdoorsman. His buck knife. Forget that nonsense. And don't subtly leave books around like etiquette and think he's going to read it. He hasn't read it before then. Not going to change him. Now, while you're dating, you might say to him, you know, you're a slob when you eat. Yeah, you eat with your hands. Now, the guy says, well, I don't go for that. So you break up. Big deal. And if he hears it from enough people, maybe he'll buy a book on etiquette. But once you're married, you're stuck with finger liquor. You know, after he's had chicken, yeah, get his toes out. Might as well suck on those for a while. That is so rude. Now you say, I want to do that at home. Fine, but don't do it in public. Now you realize, of course, that you can pick up chicken in public. Now it is acceptable. But not peas or your salad or flip them on the end of a knife. You know, or put them on, put one on one end of the fork and then hit the fork and catch it in the air. Slurping spaghetti is out. You know, like this. Children do that, and then they go. That's out. You might try to take this hand if you're right-handed, or this if you're left-handed, and bury it under the table. Consider yourself one-armed while you're eating. Man, I watch people, and that thumb, boy, does it go to town. Oh, like hockey players. Man, they're shoving that stuff all around the plate. Not good etiquette. Find yourself in a fine restaurant if they ever allow you in. Got to learn how to dress, too. That's another thing about compatibility. Realize that regardless of what you put on, guy, it's wrong. The colors will not match. We don't care. Men are interested in comfort. Women want everything color coordinated. And rightfully so. So if she says to you, that tie does not go with that suit. Listen to her. Don't say, well, I like the tie. And learn how to tie a tie. The bottom of the tie should not end about an inch above your stomach with the bottom hanging out like this. No. No, no, no. Get either a longer tie or learn how to tie it. The part underneath should not exceed the part from above. The one covers the other. Rule of thumb, it should go at least down to the belt line. And that doesn't mean pull them all the way up like this until you're out in public. Hey, these are things that women look at. Eating habits. Habits. Hygiene. Simple hygiene. Areas of compatibility. Got to agree. If you disagree, could be monstrous. You know what most women end up with? A son rather than a husband. Think about that one, guys. There are very few real men left. They're dying off. Now we have children in men's bodies. And women are just raising a child. And that's not what a marriage is. Except when we're hurt, we need to be consoled. But very rarely will we console in return. We won't tolerate illness because that will somehow hinder her ability to clean the house and fix your meals. Toleration. Well, we're still going through this. Time is gone. Let's pray. You're dismissed. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Challenge us by the things that we've learned. Prepare us for the beauty of what relationships can actually be when the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of that relationship. Dismiss us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.